Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The very act of taking a step towards purity can be something that actually disconnects a brother from another brother. There he was thinking that he was doing really well, but the fact is a lot of the stuff he was watching was probably still getting his engines going, getting his sexuality charged up, and he wasn't even aware of it.
I'm Jim Burns. More and more teen and pre-teenage guys are taking a stand for sexual purity, and they're committing themselves to staying abstinent until they get married. And I know that their parents are extremely proud of them for doing so. However, they don't always find a lot of support from their peers for making a decision to maintain their sexual purity. And that's where we as parents can play a vital role in supporting and encouraging our sons to keep fighting the good fight in this area. During the next half hour, I'll be continuing my conversation with Fred Stoker. Fred is the co-author of the award-winning Every Man's Battle series, and we're talking about some tactics you can teach your son to keep winning this battle until his wedding day and even after that. I'm glad you've tuned in today to Homeward. This is a topic that is too important to ignore.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, you know, with alumni living and serving in all 50 states and more than 80 countries around the world. APU graduates are transforming the world for Christ one life at a time, and we are grateful and privileged to be a part of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family here on the campus at APU. Part two of a conversation that a lot of APU students have to deal with, helping your son win every young man's battle against sexual temptation. Fred Stoker is with us once again, and this is a conversation that is based on writings that Fred has included in his books, Every Young Man's Battle, and his most recent effort, which is called Tactics. Let's get back into it now with part two of this two-part conversation. Here once again is Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation with Fred Stoker. Help your son win every young man's battle. Very important topic today. Fred, I can't think of a better person to be talking to. Conference speaker, best-selling author, Every Man's Battle has sold more than 650,000 copies worldwide. Gold medallion winner for preparing your son for every young man's battle, and has co-authored other books in the Every Man series. Married to Brenda for 25 years, has four children, has lived it, has a story to tell, and yet also has the courage to say that, you know what, we can help our kids make right and wise decisions. You know, it takes the right war plan to win every young man's battle against sexual immorality. And a lot of us allow this to happen by circumstance and chance, and it's not going to happen that way. So we've got to prepare for this. Fred, welcome back to our program.
That's great to be here.
Well, great to be with you. And I enjoyed our conversation last time so much. You say that when a young guy becomes desensitized to the damaging effects of sexuality, pornography, and whatnot from the culture, well, it becomes kind of almost a second blindness. I want you to talk about that right from the beginning.
Well, yeah, it becomes a blindness on two levels. First of all, he is blind, you know, to the damage it's causing him. But I guess there's a spiritual blindness that happens too, because he gets to the point where he can't even tell whether something is affecting him sexually, whether it's affecting him on a lust level. I mean, a lot of times, I guess one of the stories I share in the book is that I was talking to one youth pastor who had said to me, yeah, you know, I'm really getting tight on all this, and I'm even getting to the point where I think I may decide not to see PG-13 movies. Well, there are a lot of PG-13 movies that are almost like X-rated movies when I was younger. I mean, Titanic, for instance, is, you know, the sketching scene in the middle of that movie is just amazing when she drops her robe and, you know, she's just nude there. And I had no idea how they only got that kind of a rating. But I guess my point is that there he was thinking that he was doing really well. But the fact is a lot of the stuff he was watching was probably still getting his engines going, getting his sexuality charged up, and he wasn't even aware of it. And then the second thing that happens is that when someone else, for instance, maybe in your environment, would make a stand for purity and would make a stand that's maybe more clean and sharper, a man who is desensitized will tend to make fun of his Christian brother for making that stand and saying, look, I'm a Christian and I'm not being that tight about it. The blood covers it all. What in the world are you doing? And so the very act of taking a step towards purity can be something that actually disconnects one, a brother from another brother, when one of those brothers is desensitized to the truth. So there's a lot of mess that's going on right now out in youth groups and in churches, because there are so many of us that have been watching things on TV we shouldn't watch for so long, watching movies we shouldn't watch for so long, that we've gotten desensitized, and it's becoming very difficult for a Christian young man to make a stand for purity without taking a beating from his own Christian brothers.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because the goal for kids so often is to be accepted by their peer group. And what I hear you saying is sometimes they're not even accepted by their peer group, you know, within church. You talk about that Michael, your son, and you went out for fast food, and, you know, all of a sudden Michael says, you know, I don't really fit in even with the other guys on the team because I don't watch, you know, some of the smutty movies and stuff. So that happens so often. They feel weird, or they feel like an outsider.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And you know, my son does feel weird. And there's a couple of things that has to be said about that. If you are looking for your son to be pure and to make a stand in this world, you are going to have enough connection with him that when he starts taking a little bit of a beating for making that stand, he still has enough connection in his life with his parents you know, with God, that he can make that stand and still stand. The other thing is, you're going to have to watch very carefully what's going on in church, because it's one thing for Michael to look at his football teammates and go, well, okay, most of those guys aren't saved, they're not Christians, so, you know, what's the big deal? I could have expected that. But when he looks at his own Christian friends that are in the youth group that are mocking him and standing with his friends in the locker room laughing at the things they're saying and agreeing basically with what those non-Christians are saying, that becomes pretty problematic. It's very easy for a young man then to become cynical about Christ and those things if you're not connecting with him, talking to him, and helping him process through some
right,
of that.
The word is connection, and connecting
exactly.
is so important.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, for my son, one of the big things that I have to do for him, too, is to teach him that being a Christian means sacrifice. Because, you know, Christ got pretty beat up when he was here on this earth. A lot of people hated him. And that's really part of the Christian world. I mean, Paul, Silas, all the great men of the Bible, you can go anywhere throughout the Bible and see that a lot of people are hated for the stance they take. And this is not something that should surprise us. And also, I've told my children that, you know, the Lord said that in the last days, and of course, we don't know exactly whether these are the last days, but we know they look a lot like it. In the last days, there's going to be, you know, people that their love has grown cold. And this has been predicted for 2,000 years. So don't be surprised if there are Christians whose love has grown cold and they don't understand what you're doing. What you need to focus on is what's going to be right in the long run, both in your relationship with God and then with your wife and you know, your church.
It's fascinating that you say that, because I read also in your book where you said, don't confuse the concept of common with normal. I talk about what that means.
Right.
You know, for a Christian, normal means thinking the way God thinks and then acting accordingly. Talk about that.
Well, you see, what we do is we want to be accepted, you know, by the people around us, okay? And so what we do is we look around and say, okay, what's common around us? And that's the thing I want to be doing. And so when you're a young man, a lot of times you'll be compromising your walk with the Lord because, you know, you look around and say, well, man, everybody else is doing this, so it's okay. And you tend to measure everything by common. And so what happens is we get a lot of young men that instead of looking like Christ, they're looking like non-Christians a lot. And they're not really even knowing that. Now, what I say is that our goal is not to our goal is to look normal. A lot of times we confuse normal with common. What God says is that Jesus was the most normal man that's ever walked the face of the earth. He walked the way he was created to walk. He walked purely. He walked in holiness. And he was very normal. Walk like my son Jesus. And that's what we should measure normal from, not from what's going on around us. And so when you go to Scripture, what you can do is you can paint a pretty quick picture of what normal is. I mean, according to God, a normal young man does not go to Hooters and hoot it up at the girls with all their tight stuff on. A normal young man will walk out of the theater or turn away in Titanic when that sketching scene comes. A normal young man will not put anything that's evil before his eyes. And that's when you start actually looking at scripture and seeing how God paints normal, then I think we have a better picture as to what a young man should look like. And I know for my own sons, for instance, they find that very helpful, because a lot of times they don't feel normal in the sense that we normally look at it, because we normally look at it based on what's common. And so when they look around, not only are the non-Christians not living like them, but the Christians aren't either. And so they kind of feel abnormal. But the truth of the matter is, from God's perspective, they are normal, and it's the Christians that aren't living like that are the abnormal ones. And as long as they can keep their eyes on that proper view of normal, they seem to be able to stand. And you know, all young men want to be heroic, Jim. And my sons tend to feel like, wow, it's kind of heroic to stand in this day for God, because very few people are standing. And they take a real pride in being, I'm a real man. I can stand for the truths of God in the face of everyone else doing something else. And they see that concept of normal that I just painted as a real badge of honor.
Well, that's a great concept. And you know what, dads and moms, what you've got to do is help your kids understand that this is heroic. This kind of a conversation and this kind of action is what's heroic. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. More from Fred Stoker. Help your son win every young man's battle. I'm Jim Burns. We'll be back in just a moment.
Fred Stoker is the author of a number of best-selling books. As a matter of fact, when he wrote the book, Every Man's Battle, that came out in 2000, it sold like crazy. Tens of thousands of copies per week were flying off the shelves because he really struck a nerve in the Christian community, and that is men in the church struggle with sexual temptation, just like men outside the church do. It was kind of a revelation for us in the body of Christ. But since then, Fred's written Every Young Man's Battle, this new book, Tactics, Helping Your Son Win Every Young Man's Battle. And it's a great conversation starter for parents, especially fathers and sons, to have. And we'll have more of this conversation with Fred in just a moment. I want to jump in here to remind you that Homeward is on the air because of your prayers and faithful financial support. And we're coming up on the end of our fiscal year, June 30th. If you can give a tax-deductible donation right now in support of our ministry between now and the end of the month, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693, or visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. Now let's get back into the conclusion of today's Homeward broadcast. It is not intended for young children. If you have kids with you right now, turn off the radio and go to homeward.com and listen to it there.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Fred Stoker with us. Help your son win every young man's battle. This is not only good for dads to be listening to, but it's also good for moms to be listening to. Fred is a conference speaker, best-selling author in the Every Man's Battle brigade of great books. Great, great books, and that whole series is wonderful, and Fred has been a very integral part of that. Gold medallion winner from Preparing Your Son for Every Young Man's Battle, which is a book that I pass out to a lot of people. Today, we're talking about tactics, securing the victory in every young man's battle, and we're talking about the practical side to it. So it's great to have Fred with us. Fred, a lot of young guys struggle with sexual immorality because of what a lot of people call kind of the father wounds, if you would. I want you to give us an example of what those look like.
Well, I can give you an example of that from my own life. I mean, my dad was a national wrestling champion. I'm talking NCAA, the real stuff. And he was a bulldog in business. I mean, he was the kind of guy that when he walked in the room, he took it over. And I felt like I had Superman as my dad, and I was proud of it. I mean, I just thought he was great. But the trouble was, is my dad expected me to be a wrestling champion, and he expected me to be a man in the way he viewed things. Well, my dad was from the Playboy generation, and he had a lot of, like mistresses and things, and he viewed a lot of things differently than me. But the big thing was, is I really didn't make it very well in wrestling, so I went out for football, and my dad used to not just come to my games, but he'd come to my practices if I would throw an interception, even in practice. I mean, he would holler from the sideline and just tear me up, and got to the point where there were times he'd chew me out on the way home, and I'd throw up into my ball cap or whatever. I mean, it was really, it could be really tough. And during those times, you know, I have to admit, I mean, I would run to masturbation. I would run to the pornography because it was the only thing that kind of soothed my wounds. And you know, one of the things we find when we talk to sexual addictions counselors is that there is a window where a young man needs to connect with his dad and where he needs to understand what it means to be a man. And it usually comes around the age 11, 12, 13, and he really needs answers. He needs a go-to guy to run to. And if he does not get that from his dad, there's a second window of opportunity where he can learn about manhood. And where young men tend to go then is through that second window, which is into experimenting sexually with girls, with pornography, just with the opposite sex. And they begin to start trying to find their manhood through those experiments, and also that medication through those experiments. And the thing is that if they go through that window, they really can never find manhood, because, you know, really manhood is defined in the company of men. You need to have another man say to you, you're a man, you belong in the company of men, step up here to my shoulder, you belong here. I mean, that's really where we come to an understanding of who we are and what we can become as men and what we should become as men. When you start looking for that in the company of women, you never find it. I mean, I grew up with my mom and my two sisters. I didn't have a man in the house after the divorce. And, it didn't matter how many times my sister called me a fox or my mom called me a hunk or whatever it was, told me how handsome I was. The thing is, it never counted because my dad never thought I was a man.
We have a number of single moms who are just, their hearts are pierced right now because, you know, dad isn't in the house. What's some hope for them? I mean, where do they find that person who's going to do that for their sons?
Well, you have to find that, I think. Oh, the best place, of course, to find it in church. If you have, you know, a youth pastor, he can do it. Youth leaders can do it. I also find that, you know, in my own life, there was a school teacher at school. His name was Jim Taylor. He had a huge impact on my life. You know, he wasn't a Christian, but he was a real man, and he really respected me as a man, and he accepted me as a man. And I would have to say that if it weren't for Jim Taylor, I would have been in a world of hurt. And so, you know, we don't necessarily, I know this may sound bad to some, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a Christian man. It has to be a man who respects your son, loves your son, connects with your son. It might be a coach, it might be a teacher. But, you know, the real thing is they just need to have someone they can connect with so they can kind of sort this thing out about manhood and understand what it is.
No, it's really, really key. And one of the benefits today of youth ministry in the church is that there are some of those men kind of, you know, hanging around guys who can give them that input, as well as also it's a new generation where dads have to step up. And again, the reason we're having this program is because we want to encourage dads, even if they feel inadequate, maybe they have some father wounds, to kind of step up, because it's not about just accountability. What I'm reading from you is that it's also about helping your kids learn true intimacy and connection in their lives, and how much greater than if it was from their dad.
Well, absolutely. And you have to look at this real openly and just say, look, I don't, my dad, you might say to yourself, well, my dad didn't do that for me. Why should I have to do that for my son? Well, look at your life. Are you really happy with the way it worked out? I mean, when I look at my life, I'm not happy with the way it worked out. And I need to do more than what my dad did if I expect my sons to have a better walk than I did through this whole process. And I guess what I look at it as is just one of those things that I need to learn as I go. I did not have a great example as a dad. Well, then one of the things I did when I first became a father was I began reading everything by James Dobson I could put my hands on, because I wanted to learn. I mean, I didn't have anybody to teach me, so I had to learn through books. And learning through books is a good way to learn.
Sure, and I call these paper mentors.
Yeah, exactly. Paper mentor. That's a great term for it. And I learned a lot, and I've become the kind of father that, you know, I wished I would have had, but it doesn't matter that I didn't have it. And it doesn't matter if you still have some father wounds. What you need to do is deal with those. I know that Promise Keepers really helped me deal with those, and I'm free of those father wounds today. And, you know, we don't have to stay the way we are. One of the great things about being a Christian is that the whole thing called sanctification really means just to move from where we are today to becoming more normal like Christ. And we can get over our wounds. We can help our sons to never get those wounds. And we can build the kind of destiny in our family tree that God wants us to have.
That's great, great input. You know, one of the things that I know is your message is the fact that you suggest that a key for a father to maintain his own sexual purity is to pass that legacy on to his son as well. I want you to take the final couple of moments of time together and talk to the dad who wants to do great things for the Lord, but doesn't really feel equipped to pass on a legacy of sexual purity to his son.
Well, I guess what I would say is that you can feel like you don't have the equipment because you look at your life and you can say, you know what, I've just never done that well up to this point, and I'm really not that connected with my son. And I want to say I understand all those feelings, but the fact of the matter is you are the only one that has the position necessary to connect with your son and do for your son what he needs. And you are the one that God has selected from before the foundation of the world to be the one to pass these truths on to your son. I know in my own life, there came a point where I had to say to myself, you know what? I'm older now. I'm a dad. I can't make choices as to what I feel comfortable with and what I don't feel comfortable with. I have a job to do, and I have to learn what I need to learn. I have to, first of all, learn purity myself so I can pass it on. And the day is today to do that. I know I used to look at my son. He was 2 years old, and I'll just quickly tell you the story. I mean, he used to look up into my eyes. He's a toddler, and I knew what his eyes were saying. You know, you are my dad. You're my hero. I want to grow up to be just like you. And sometimes, Jim, when I would look into his eyes, I would burst out crying because I knew I didn't have what I needed to help him stay out of this prison that I had found myself in. Well, it was that whole deal that made me finally decide, you know, look, I have to find a way to win so that I can break these generational patterns and so that we can actually have something in this home that's different. You know, God isn't just there for us to be changed in heaven. He's here to change us now. And it's not a magic thing. It's a process of learning the truth and beginning to walk in it. You will be free, and you will have what you need to teach your son.
That's a great comment. In fact, the scripture says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Absolutely. And when it comes to this, that means your son will be free.
That is a great word. Fred, thank you for being with us so much today. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, I really enjoyed it, Jim. Thank you.
Fred Stoker. The book is Tactics, Securing the Victory in Every Young Man's Battle, a great resource for you to share with your son. Or, you know what, there's a lot of great input in here for daughters as well.
Yep, there certainly is, and we appreciate Fred Stoker spending time with us today here on the Homeward Broadcast. By the way, if you are interested in learning more about Fred's book that Jim just mentioned, or any of Fred's books, we have a link on our website today. Go to the Radio Broadcast tab when you go to homeward.com, and you'll see today's broadcast schedule. It'll point right to Fred's website. You can just find that there, so you'll find that at homeward.com. Speaking of online, Jim, we got an email not too long ago from Jana, who says, "Dear Jim, I use your stuff in all kinds of ways. I love your devotionals. Sometimes I include them in my weekly emails to the college students we work with at our church. I like to forward your parent newsletter to our student ministry parents and encourage them to sign up for your newsletter. And I also pass on the things I listen to on the radio program to people I just know because they appreciate hearing that great wisdom from Homeward. So thank you so much for being such an excellent resource." And I love the way that she talks about that because she's talking about us online, talking about our publications, and also talking about the broadcast and then saying, Homeward is an excellent resource, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to minister to so many people in those ways.
Well, Janet gets the Homeward Star of the Day Award.
If not the week.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And you know, it really is something that we want to do. We call ourselves a resource ministry to parents.
Right.
We want to be, as we say, the 411 for information, the 911. What's neat about Janet is I'm assuming that she's probably not a mom of, say, teens and preteens, who a lot of times we'll be speaking at
right.
This particular program, you know, especially.
Yeah.
But she is somebody who's working with them and understands
yes.
that. And so that's pretty exciting that she's like, you know, getting other parents, you know, involved. And I want to encourage some of our Homeward champions to do that because we still are an organization that needs to be heard. And lots of people do know about us, but there's lots of people who don't. We want our website to be the kind of place where people like Janet can just send things out
right.
and give people information. And frankly, we don't really care that much about my name or about the Homeward name, but we do care about helping parents in a big way.
Sure, getting the resources they need and having a plan then
right.
for their parenting, so it's purposeful.
You're exactly right. You know, speaking of the word plan, I was thinking about this program today. I think every boy needs a game plan for winning the battle for sexual purity. But interesting enough, Roger, I think it's up to us as their parents to show them how to build one of those plans and a plan that they can follow. Not easy because most of us didn't have that when we were growing up. Well, the same principle holds true, I think, for us as parents. We can't leave the raising of our children to circumstance and chance. We need to be intentional with our kids, and having a battle plan for parenting can be a big help. And as we were just talking about, I hope that many of you will think of Homeward as your partner in this area. Use the tools we make available to you on the air and online to raise your kids to become responsible adults who love God. You know, your job is not to raise happy kids. Your job is to raise responsible adults who love God. And sometimes we have to, you know, come down on them pretty hard. Well, we want to be your partner. And speaking of partnership, please know how important your prayers and your financial support are to the ministry of Homeward. Your partnership helps us to continue to reach out to parents all over the world, equipping them to deepen their relationship with their kids in every season of their parenting experience. If you have partnered with us financially during the past 12 months, please accept my thanks for your contributions. If it's been a while since we have last heard from you and you're still enjoying and benefiting from the ministry of Homeward, well, then I want to encourage you to drop us a line And if at all possible, make a donation if you can. Our fiscal year will be ending in just a couple of days, and we'd really appreciate your financial support right now. As you know, in the summer, it's tough for missions like ours to keep going because people sort of forget about sending in partnership contributions, and I would encourage you to do that if you can. You can also make a tax-deductible donation by using our secure website at homeward.com, or you can go to that website and get our address, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. And be sure to join me again next time. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.